Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 1 and read through verse number 11. So if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little bit from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. In our text tonight, it's about a bunch of guys who were out in the boats fishing. It was a fishing trip that they would have liked to have forgotten about. I am not a fisherman. I don't eat fish. I leave the fish alone. They don't bother me. I'm not going to bother them. But these men were professional fishermen. That's what they did for life. And they were out in a boat all night. They didn't want to talk about the one that had gotten away because there wasn't any to get away. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus showed up, and he took them on a fishing trip that they would never forget, a fishing trip to remember. I want to point out just a few elements tonight about that passage that I believe speak to our church. And I think it's really important. You know, we've just moved here in this new location, and I believe this passage just talks about our church in great depth. God has a word to say to us tonight, as he did for those fishermen back then. And he wants to take us on a fishing trip tonight. He wants to take us on a fishing trip in that boat. You see, it's not a fishing trip that you drowned a bunch of worms, get bitten by a bunch of mosquitoes, and come home empty-handed, you know? Jesus wants to take us on a fishing trip to remember. I want you to consider three elements tonight of this story. Number one, consider the vessel that they had. Consider the boat. In verses 1 through 3, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Jesus spoke from the boat. Why would he do that? Well, he used the boat as the microphone. Just as we have electronic microphones, Jesus got into the boat, pushed the boat offshore just a little bit, and used the water to amplify his voice as he spoke to the people there on the shore. I want you to think about the boat tonight, the boat. Think about that night of fishing that those gentlemen had had. You see, up until then, you see, Peter's boat that they were in had been a place of labor and toil and great frustration. Oh, but you see, when that vessel that they were in right then was a vessel that was used for making a living. But you see, that boat that night became a place of personal closeness and a place of intimacy with Jesus. It was a place where all who were on board could get closer to Jesus right then. Can you imagine being in the same boat with Jesus? Wow, that must have been something. Here's Jesus in the boat with them. He's teaching to the multitudes. And now what does he do? He says, push off just a little bit further. That's exactly, you see, what our church is. Our church is just that. You see, the church is just a bunch of mortar and blocks and building supplies. But you see, when we enter in, it's a place of intimacy. You see, the building has occupied those who know the Lord. You're here tonight because you want to be fed tonight. You're those double dippers, I call you guys, on Wednesday nights. You're here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but Wednesday nights you're here to refuel. I've often talked about that you refuel, because I need that refueling on Wednesday nights. Because about Wednesday afternoon, I'm out of gas. In fact, I had a difficult day today. I knew I was teaching tonight, and you know, you just had one of those days when the phone wouldn't quit ringing, and there was just problems that had to be dealt with. And I just felt like Satan was just trying to kick me to the curb and say, "You really think you're going to teach tonight?" And I had to go back and just spend some quiet time and just relax a little bit and ask God to clear my mind. Because he did. But you see, when we come into the church, this is a place of intimacy. This is a place of closeness. Oh, Pastor Ken gave a great illustration last Sunday. I hope you caught it. About his mom. That his mom loved to come to church. You know, she was home alone most of the day. But you see, when she came to church, she was with friends. And there was that closeness, that intimacy. Do we have that here? Oh, I hope we do. You see, the boat was a place of intimacy. You see, Matthew 18:20 says, the Redeemer is here. You see, Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. You see, Jesus is with us tonight. There's more than two or three gathered here tonight. He's with us tonight. But you see, the redeemed are also here. 1 John 3:1-2 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us our children. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? That's a scripture that we should have on our refrigerators, our mirrors. That's just a wonderful promise that he calls us his children. You see, we've been adopted into his family. We are his children. That's just a special thought. He calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, when we see Jesus, won't that be a wonderful day? Wow. You see, this place is also a place of intimacy because of what we do here. Well, what do we do here? Well, we worship. We had great worship tonight. I think we're blessed by a lot of different worship talent here at our church. We're blessed. On Sundays, we were blessed by a great worship team. You see, we worship. We have great teaching here, Bible teaching. We're growing in Jesus. We have great fellowship. We're able to fellowship again outside on the breezeway out here. I had to get my bearings. On the breezeway out there. It's great to be able to fellowship again. But you see, that's what we do here. The Son of God has taught believers we need to grow in him. Are we growing in him? Are you growing in him? But you see, it's also a special place because of what we find here. There's food for our souls. There's freedom from our setbacks. And there's fellowship with other believers. Oh, I think that's so important. I think that's what so many people are missing out nowadays when they just sit at home and watch the TV for church service. They're missing the fellowship. Because if you don't have that fellowship, wow, get pretty empty. Just like Pastor's mom, Joan, came here for the fellowship because she loved to be here with the other people because she felt like it was family. And that's so important. So important. You know, there's three reasons to watch video sermons. Do you know what those three are? One, you can watch in your pajamas. Two, you don't have to worry about parking. And number three, you can mute the pastor. I thought it was kind of cute myself. That wasn't even in my notes. So. But you see, the church is an oasis in the desert of the world. Oh, it's a place, it's a light in the darkness. I love Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Is the word of God a light to your path tonight? Oh, I hope so. You see, the church is a place of refuge, and it's a revival for the weary hearts. I have to admit to you, I was weary tonight when I got here. I had a weary day. But you see, as I got here, I could feel that the Spirit was lifting me. Lifting me. And I hope it lifts you too when you're here. Because I know life is difficult. Everybody that came in tonight, almost everybody commented how bad the traffic was tonight. Almost everybody. It was terrible out there. It's awful. And I'm not one of the ones that deals with traffic really well. You can ask my wife. She always says, is that very pastoral? And she's always, you know, on me about that. Difficult. But we come here and we feel fed and we feel relaxed and we feel refreshed, ready to go out. The boat was a place of intimacy. But you see, also the boat was a place of instruction. Jesus turned that vessel, that boat that they were in, that had nothing happened all night, he turned it into a pulpit that day. Turned it into a pulpit where he preached the word of God. And then those that were on board and those on shore that heard it, heard Jesus instructing them how they should live their life. It's a learning atmosphere here at church. I hope that it is. I'm so happy that we come here and we're taught chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. It should be book by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I got that backwards. But anyways, I hope that you appreciate that. I really do, because that's so special that we don't skip anything. It's all right there. We go right through the book. You see, when we come here, we want to find it as a place for instruction for our souls. Biblical teaching, it should be that cornerstone of every believer's life. You see, there's that word cornerstone right there. Biblical teaching needs to be the cornerstone of our life. Teaching is about getting into the Word. Are you in the Word? You know, 2 Timothy 4:2 says this, preach the Word of God, be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. There's seven words there. The first seven words are the most important. Preach the Word of God, be prepared. Are you prepared to share your gospel? Well, I hope you are. Because we need to be prepared now more than ever. Time is short, folks. Time is short. We look at the world. We look at what's going on. Are we sharing the gospel with someone on a regular basis? When Jesus gives us that opportunity, do we share the word? Do we plant those seeds? I hope we do. I hope we do. I love those first three words. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. He calls us to be prepared. The church is a place of instruction. That's why we need to come with a Bible and a notebook and a pen. We leave note cards back there. Are you taking notes to carry out, to look at throughout the week? As Pastor Ken teaches, are you taking notes? Are you using this as a place of instruction? You see, the boat was also a place of irritation. It was a place of intimacy. It was a place of instruction, but it was also a place of irritation. Verse number 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You can see that Peter is obviously kind of irritated. Jesus, we've been here all night. We know what we're doing. We've caught nothing. Now you want us to go do it again. They'd already cleaned their nets. They were clean. These men were tired. They were frustrated. They were defeated. They'd done everything that they had tried to do, and yet they had failed. That boat had become a place of irritation for them that night because nothing happened the way they wanted it to happen. Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever get tired? I do. I get frustrated and tired. Sometimes it seems like, you know, we come week after week, we sing, we pray, we preach, we testify, we fellowship, and then we go home. What's missing? What's missing from that? We aren't catching any fish. We're not catching fish. We have to drop our nets down. Jesus tells us that we're to catch fish, to go out and spread the gospel. Peter and these other men, they knew how to fish. They're professionals. They struck out that night. And that happens to us too. I've got a good friend of mine. He's like a brother to me. And he says he's a believer. And I believe that he is. I believe he gave his heart to Jesus. And I've asked him to come to church at least 25 times. And he has yet to come. That's frustrating. Because I want him to come and enjoy and be fed and have fellowship. And that happens to each one of us. We've all invited people to come, but they don't come. But you see, our responsibility is to invite. Our responsibility is to ask. Don't let it become a place of irritation like that boat was for those guys that night. Come here expecting to receive. Come here inviting people to come. Number one, consider the vessel. Consider the boat. Number two, consider the voyage. Consider the voyage tonight. Verses 4 and 5, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." Verse number 4 talks about a command. Jesus issues a twofold command to Peter and the men in the boat. What was it? He said, "Launch out and let down." Launch out and let down. A couple of thoughts about those commands. There was nothing wrong with the vessel that they were in. The boat was seaworthy. It was on the lake. They had used it all night. The boat was in good shape, so they could push out into the deeper water. There was no fear there. But you see, the vessel needed to go where the fish were. Jesus calls us to launch out. And when he calls us to launch out, we need to launch out. Now, my wife and I were extremely comfortable at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. We were in row number 8, seats 1 and 2, at the 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning. We had a group of friends around us. We had a good group. We went to coffee after the church. I was home by 10:30. I got to watch the pre-NFL games. I was happy. It was a lot of fun. Didn't have to do anything. I just went set, be ministered to. We were done. My wife one day said, "You know what? This is the last church we're ever going to be at." A couple weeks later, guess what? We were there, but we were also here. We've done double duty for a while. But God put something on my heart, and he said, "Ron, this is where you guys need to be. Launch out. Launch out. You've rested, and you're prepared now. Launch out." Is he calling you to launch out? To launch out into giving the gospel out, inviting people in. Launch out. Jesus knew that the fish were not where the boat was. Now, think about this. The guys had been fishing all night. The fishing time at that time was at night, and it was in shallow water. What does Jesus tell them to do? Jesus tells them to launch out into deep water during the day. Just the opposite of what it should be to catch fish. Simon Peter said, if that's what you want us to do, I'll let down the net. But they were out in the deep. You see, that's a lot of time what happens to us when we see God calling us to something and we say, no, God, that can't be. I don't see that as happening. Why would you ask me to do that? But you see, that's what the Lord Jesus said to these guys. Launch out. It made no sense at all. None. It was exactly opposite of what they should do. Fishing time was over. You see, that's what happened to my wife and I. He told us to launch out. And I said, why? Father, we're happy here. We're comfortable here. Life is good. Life is easy. It's comfortable. But you see, God said, launch out. Launch out. Just like he told the fishermen, launch out. Mark 16:15 says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. That main word in that scripture is the word go. The word go. Go into all the world. We've had the privilege over the last couple days to have my niece, who's here with us tonight, and her husband, who are missionaries in Guinea, Africa. And they've shared with us their ministry. I hope the Lord doesn't tell me to launch out to Africa. I don't think that he will, but now that I've said that, you never know. They have a wonderful ministry over there with the young people. But you see, they were told to launch out, and they did what they were supposed to do. Launch out. Go. You see, a net will never fill up with fish until you let it down. You see, those men had washed the nets. Oh, they had mended their nets. And the nets were ready for the next time. You see, they couldn't have caught any fish until the nets were let down into the water. They could buy the finest nets that they could find at Amazon Prime. The finest nets they could find. They could have had them there in 2 days with Amazon. They could have watched all the YouTube videos that they could have watched on how to catch fish. But you see, if they didn't let the nets down, they're not going to catch any fish. Do we get the picture? I hope we do. You know, we need to think about our life as Jesus is leading us. What are we going to do to step out into the world a little bit and share our faith? Well, Ron, I don't know how to do that. Just tell people that Jesus loves them and start a conversation. And if they ask a question and you don't have the answer, say, I don't know, but I'll get you the answer. But plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. You know, my wife and I do convalescent ministry on Saturday morning. And we're fortunate that we've been able to go back into convalescent ministry after a full year away. And we've been back and we're meeting outside in the courtyard area. And it's been so wonderful to see those people that have come back. You know, here are people that are in a convalescent home, and they're lonely. You know, they're not homeless, but they're familyless, a lot of them. And in some ways, that's worse. They have no one. And you know, it's just a blessing to watch those folks come and sit and sing and worship and then listen to the word. And then afterwards say, I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you came. We had a lady there on Saturday in a wheelchair. She came up and she said, I want to be able to sing Amazing Grace with you. I said, sure, we'll do it next week. That's just a blessing for her. But you see, launching out is where it's at. We're launching out into a convalescent ministry. Launching out. Letting down our nets. We've seen people come to the Lord. This is their last stop in a convalescent home for many of them. And they've given their life to Jesus. Larry was 99 years old, gave his life to Jesus. A couple months later, he turned 100 and he went to heaven. And Larry is in heaven tonight, rejoicing and dancing and saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me at 99 years old. Launch out. Launch out. See, the guys had, hey, had toiled all night. They were weary. But they did what Jesus told them to do. Peter is saying, Lord, we've already tried that. It didn't work. We're professionals. We know what we're doing. Leave the fishing to us. We've tried it already. That didn't work. There's no use going out. Do we say that sometimes? When the Lord pushes us in a direction? I know I've said it. I've told you that when Pastor Ken told me he saw something different from me than worship, I pushed back. I said, Jesus, I don't think so. I don't think so. And one day, over the head with a 2x4, I finally woke up and said, okay, launch out. Launch out. You know, as skeptical as Peter is, he said, there's no use to try it, but we know how to do it, but we've tried it, it didn't work. But he went ahead and did it anyways. They launched the boat out into the deeper water. John 15:5, it says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, that's what it's about. We need to be connected to Jesus in that special way. We're connected to him so that when he gives us that opportunity to launch out and share the gospel, we're connected to him, and he will give us the words to share the gospel, to reach others, to plant those seeds. Oh, you may never see that person come to Jesus that you witnessed to, but that's okay. You've shared the gospel. You've planted that seed. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He says, go and make disciples. Go. Number one, consider the vessel or the boat. Number two, consider the voyage. In closing, consider the victory. Verses 6 through 11, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished. If you have your Bible, circle that word astonished, because it means rendered immovable. They were strucken. They couldn't move. They were immovable at the catch of fish which had been taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, in spite of being tired and defeated and frustrated and filled with doubt, Peter obeyed the command of Jesus. And because of what he did, he got in some miracles that he would have missed out on otherwise. In verses 6 and 7, we see the miracle involving the fish. You see, when Peter and the other men obeyed Jesus, they caught so many fish that their nets threatened to break. Can you imagine that? They hadn't caught one fish all night, and now their nets are breaking. They called to their partners that to come and help, loaded them into their boats. Both the boats were sinking. They were fishing at the wrong place in the wrong time, and their nets were filled with fish. When Jesus says to us, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, we don't want to say, we've tried that before and it didn't work. We've tried that before and it didn't work. But we want to say, we've tried it before, it might not have worked, but nevertheless, I'm going to go and I'm going to launch out. I'm going to let my nets down into the water and see what you're going to do, Jesus, because you've commanded us to do that. You commanded us to do that. You see, if we want to see the Lord save souls, if we want to see him fill our vessel to overflowing, then we got to let down those nets when and where and how Jesus says. We have to obey him. Verses 8 through 10 talks about a miracle involving the fishermen. You see, when Peter and the others saw what Jesus has done, those fishermen fell at the feet of Jesus in humble worship. They were amazed at his power, and they glorified Jesus for what he had done. You see, that's what we want to see here at our church. We want to see our church filled with excitement and his glory. We want to launch out. We want to invite people in. We have a beautiful facility here. Let's fill it up. Let's invite people in. You see, as we go online and do live video in a few weeks, that's just a tool. That's a tool that you can use to invite people to watch the video and say, hey, turn on the video, and after they watch it, then you can say, hey, why don't you come and join us? Be a part of the real service. That's what it's all about. The video is just a tool to get other people to watch and listen, to plant the seeds. But it's going to be up to us to use that tool, inviting people to watch that video and then invite them to church, because that's what it's really about. We want them to come and learn here in the body and get into the word and fellowship. You see, that's the goal. The other miracle is involving the future in verses 10 through 11. Jesus says, Peter, you guys haven't seen anything yet. You think this was astounding? Oh, just wait. Just wait. Just wait until the souls get caught up in a net. Think about this. Peter would see 3,000 plus people come in the book of Acts to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite characters in the book of Acts is Philip. I love Philip because Philip had a wonderful ministry in the book of Acts, chapter 8. If you get a chance, read about Philip. Because Philip had a great ministry. He had a thriving ministry. And what did Jesus say to do? Jesus said, leave that ministry and go over there and run down the road, and you're going to see an Ethiopian in a cart, and I want you to talk to him. Now, can you imagine if Philip had said, Jesus, why are you asking me to do this? I've got a thriving ministry here, and you want me to go minister to one man? But you see, Philip did just that. And we know through that one man, that Ethiopian ruler, that that whole country was saved. The gospel came to that country. You see, Philip launched out when he said, when Jesus asked him to. He launched out. He let down the nets. Right now, our nets are in the vessel. Jesus is telling us to let them down. There's so many ways we can do that. We can invite people to church. We can invite people to listen to the radio station. We can invite people to listen to the video in a couple weeks and use those tools to invite others in. This is a wonderful, wonderful place to worship. Wonderful place. God has given us so many blessings here in this facility. When I look up there and I see all that equipment up there, God supplied that. That was supplied by him. That's a ministry, the media ministry. There's just so much that we can do. Are you letting down your nets tonight? Oh, I hope you are. I hope that you take this with you tonight and as you go through the day tomorrow as you're in Publix or Target or wherever you're at, and you just speak that kind word to somebody. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor is having a difficult time. Maybe you just need to go to your neighbor and say, you know what? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. We're over on the West Coast. Most of you know we're building a little house over there. Not moving, but just a little house. But we were over there, and they were pouring the concrete slab, and the contractor and myself, our contractor is a wonderful Christian man. We got there talking to the guy who was pumping the concrete, a Jewish man, and we started talking to him. And we witnessed to him right there. Now, he didn't make a profession of faith, but he heard the gospel that day. And that's all that we're called to do. That's it. Jesus is coming soon. Don't delay. When Jesus gives you those opportunities to share the gospel, share the gospel. We don't have to go overseas. I'm thankful for those that do, but we don't have to do that. We have a mission field right here in Deerfield Beach, Pompano, Fort Lauderdale. It's all around us. Share the gospel. Let down your nets.